Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pleased to welcome from the Bay Area, Joe Castellano, longtime friend, longtime sports broadcaster, now the host of the, I kid you not, the Sports Virus podcast. And it's dedicated to Bay Area sports, including the Giants. So, Joe, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. As someone who covers the rival Giants, what's your reaction to Mookie Betts signing this massive extension without ever playing a game in Dodger Blue?
Wow, that is really great for Mookie. I was curious as to where he was going to go, but that's quite a commitment for the Dodgers, especially when you consider the depth they have in the organization. I was a little surprised to see that they would make that kind of commitment to one player. It's definitely trouble for the Giants, because from the Giants' perspective, to see a guy like Mookie Betts, to know that he's going to be in a Dodgers uniform for a long time, I don't know that it'll still be productive at the end of that contract. And maybe it's not a great contract, but just to know that he's going to be a Dodger here for years to come is not good news in San Francisco.
We're getting ready to see opening night, and of course it does feature both the Giants and the Dodgers, that rivalry, their first game, their first series, which is pretty amazing. How much excitement in the Bay Area and with the Giants that they're finally about to get on the field?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement to watch these games because people have been just chomping at the bit to watch anything. I think if you looked at golf ratings, they're probably high because people are dying to watch sports. So people are really fired up to watch these games. I think especially this first weekend of games, the ratings are going to be sky high. It's going to be a little strange because you think about broadcasters like the Giants broadcasters are going to be in San Francisco doing the broadcast. They're
right.
Not going to be down in L.A. So that's bizarre in itself. And I think people just have to get used to the fact that you'll be watching these games with no fans and the cardboard cutouts and all that stuff. But just to have the games back on, it definitely is uplifting, I think.
We'll talk a little bit about the play-by-play side of it because that's how you and I first met. But the big news around the Giants in the last couple of weeks is that you ended up seeing Buster Posey decide to opt out of the season because he and his wife have adopted twin baby girls who were born prematurely and need to be in the NICU and need special care. What was that ripple effect like for the organization for whom he's been really the star player along with Madison Bumgarner for so long?
I think it was pretty surprising because nobody knew about this. Nobody knew that Buster and his wife, Kristen, would be adopting baby girls. But I think it was understandable when you heard that story. And I think there was a lot of support for Buster Posey in the Bay Area. I mean, I don't know about around baseball, what fans thought of that. But here, I think it only improves his legacy and his standing with the team. I mean, I'm a little disappointed that I won't get to see him play this year because I was wondering how he would play. Last year was not a great year for Posey offensively. I mean, I think he still was kind of coming back from that hip injury, but I think we were wondering, is he going to get more of his power back? And we'll have to find out next year. And the Giants are going to miss him a lot. It's not even so much the numbers he might put up offensively, but it's more the defense catching and the leadership and being able to know every pitcher on the staff. And he's so smart back there. So he's going to be missed a lot. But I think everybody from fans to his teammates to management, they all understand and respect his decision.
And they're also without guys like Brandon Belt and Evan Longoria. We've seen Hunter Pence miss a game here or two. What will be the strength of the Giants when they open up on Thursday night?
I was thinking, Amy, that the strength would be that they'd have veteran players in a short season and they wouldn't maybe have so many injuries because it's shorter and all that. But like you just said, you've got players that are hurting and we didn't even get started yet. So that doesn't bode well for the Giants. I mean, look, they're going to be looking up at the Dodgers no matter how many games you play. And this schedule is not easy when you think about the fact that you've not only got to play the Dodgers and teams in the National League West, but you've got to play the Oakland A's. That's a team that people are saying maybe are going to go to the World Series. The Angels, they're an improved team. The Astros, we know how good they are. So those teams that are going to be playing against the Giants, I think they're going to have a struggle. You know, a lot of the players on their roster are the older guys that are kind of on the downslide. So unless they get, you know, great pitching performances and Johnny Cueto becomes the Johnny Cueto from a few years back and Samardzija, you know, could pitch like he did last year for the whole time, you know, for the couple of months here, unless they get that and they get really lucky, I don't know that they're going to contend. A lot of people think they will be a surprise team, though, because they do have those veterans. And if they can stay healthy, those guys can sort of lead the way maybe for a surprising run.
Joe Castellano, longtime friend of mine from way back, and is the host of the Sports Virus. I kid you not. The Sports Virus podcast that covers Giants, Niners, Warriors. So from the Bay Area with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So people know, where did the name Sports Virus come from, Joe?
Yeah, it's actually a funny story. So there was a graphics operator, I hope he's listening, a guy named Charlie Carlucci, who was a legendary graphics operator for CBS Sports on the NFL and on all the events, really. But my computer sent out a virus to a number of people, but
it really
messed up Charlie's computer. And this was a long time ago. I mean, this is like at least 20 years ago. And Charlie was really upset, and he had a nickname for everybody. So when I came into the TV truck, he said, "Hey, Joey, the virus," and it kind of stuck with everybody. I mean, even, you know, Greg Gumbel and Dan Dierdorf and people like that are calling me the virus, you know. So finally, you know, I had to come up with a website after I lost my gig with SiriusXM, and I was like, "What do I call it?" And you know, some friends of mine said, "Why don't you call it the Sports Virus?" So there we are, you know, and that now has been 10 years ago, and a lot of people these days, when they see the logo, they're like, "Oh, did you just try to capitalize on the virus?" I'm like, "No, I've had this for 10 years, and it's the antidote for the coronavirus."
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical, but also I can imagine there are a lot of people accusing you of jumping on and trying to capitalize on what has been a pandemic this year.
Right. Amy, you should tell people how we got to know each other. So I was doing Rochester Red Wings games, Triple A baseball in Rochester, and you were the producer, board op back there in Rochester. And that was a lot of fun.
That was my first commercial radio gig. I did news updates overnight, but as you say, I also produced some AAA baseball, also some Buffalo Bills football. They were Buffalo Bills crazy in Rochester, New York. Literally my first career gig out of Syracuse, and that's where we met. And so I was introduced to you first as a play-by-play announcer, and that side of things really intrigues me now in the spring and the summer. So what would it be like? I mean, I know you've had some experience in Olympic broadcast being remote, but what would it be like? What is it like to do a game when you're not anywhere near where the action's actually happening?
It's challenging. I mean, that Olympics experience really was the first time that I did it, and it was 2008. It was for NBC, and we were in Stamford, Connecticut, and a number of us, Andrew Catalan, who's with CBS now, he was one of the people doing it. I think he was doing handball, and I was doing fencing, archery, and softball. And it was challenging because sometimes the director, it would be a world feed, so maybe it might be a director from China, he would take a shot of something and you wouldn't even know where the ball was. So if a ball was hit down the left field line, he might just take a shot, like a tight shot of the player, and I'm like, I don't know if it's fair or foul. I'm just totally guessing. I'm going, "Oh, well, line drive down the left field line, foul ball." Like, I have no idea. I can't see it. So I learned a lot from that experience, but in more recent years, Amy, with Pac-12 Network, we're actually doing quite a few of those as well. And it's kind of been half and half for me, where half the time I might be out at Cal or at Stanford. The other half of the time I might be doing UCLA against Arizona in San Francisco in the studio and doing it off the monitor. And, you know, it just takes a while to get used to it. I think soccer, they have a monitor that's more of a tight shot, and that really helped when I did softball out of the studio. It was a little bit easier because they would have a monitor that you could see a wide shot of the bases, and you can kind of see where the players are going. So I think, yeah, it's a challenge. You have to get used to it. But I think all the broadcasters around the country now are kind of experiencing it and seeing what the future might be like.
What does it feel like to you when you watch these broadcasts with no fans in the stands but this pumped-in video game noise?
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when I was in Rochester and we would play at Toledo in an April game where it's snowing and there are like three people in the stands and there's no crowd noise. And what I really wish I had, I'm thinking about it now, I sort of regret that I didn't figure out a way to pipe in audio of crowd noise like they're doing now, because that makes it sound so much better, Amy. Like if I had that piped in behind me, it even though it's fake, it pumps everybody up. When it's dead and you're the announcer and there's nothing there and you're like outside ball one and then it's just dead air, you just feel compelled to keep talking and you're talking too much. And that's the thing. That's what it reminds me of, just being in Toledo. There were specific games there where it was just, there were no people in the stands. And so I think it is a good idea that they're going to pipe in the audio of the crowd.
Just to kind of fill the space is what you're saying?
Yeah, because I think every announcer needs to have a pace to him, especially in baseball. And you want to hear, you know, it's 3-2 now, and then the pause that's there, and you hear that buzz, and that just adds to the ambiance of it. And I think without it, it's just not a good listen.
What have you heard from athletes that you've talked to, whether current or former players, about how it's going to be without fans in the stands?
I think, you know, from what I've heard so far, they are a little bit disappointed about it because, just having the intensity level that you have when you come up to the plate. I heard Joe Panik talking about this, that, you come up to the plate and it kind of feels like a playoff atmosphere if you're in the pennant race, you know, and it's down the stretch. And now when you have no fans in the stands and you come up there, it's just not going to have that same feel. You're still going to be motivated for your team and everything, but you're going to have to create your own energy.
Mm. Joe Castellano is the host of The Sports Virus. I love it. It's so fitting. Who knew 10 years ago? From the Bay Area, and he's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I have two questions left. One is about the Giants. There's really no segue between these two, but the new manager with Gabe Kapler, totally different than Bruce Bochy. What have you been able to tell about his style in the Bay Area so far?
Well, I mean, it really is hard to step in for Bruce Bochy because,
sure.
I mean, yeah, he's a legend. I just loved the guy. I love the way he managed the Giants. And he had a good mix, I thought, of using some of the analytics, but not always being completely married to it and obsessed with it. And he just knew how to manage people. Now, we'll see if Gabe Kapler is a good manager of people. That remains to be seen. One thing we do know is that he really does like the analytics, and it looks like he leaves no stone unturned from what we've heard so far. I'm sort of in between where I think you need to use the analytics, but I'm hoping that he's also a good manager of people because I think that's really important. Of course, he made big news earlier this week,
right,
with, you know, kneeling for the national anthem, and I think people in San Francisco really respect him for doing that. You also have a woman that's coaching at first base, and Alyssa Nacken, and, you know, that's really good because, you know, it's bringing about some change in baseball. So I think so far he's grading out well, but let's see how the Giants play. I think one of the things that's going to be difficult, some of these guys, like a Brandon Crawford, let's say, who's been, starting shortstop, playing every day, he may not play every day. He may not play against every left-handed pitcher because I think Kapler's going to want to look at the analytics and say, okay, well, I'm not always going to play my lefty against the lefty. And I think he's not afraid to ruffle some feathers, but in the long run, how does that work in the clubhouse? I think that all remains to be seen, and I'm fascinated to find out what will happen.
Well, you nailed that. No, Gabe Kapler is not afraid to ruffle feathers at all, ever. So that will definitely be a story. And something fascinating, too, is that he is one of 10 new managers in baseball. In a 60-game season, there are a third of the teams that are breaking in new managers, and some of them are brand new, as in have never managed before. So that's a huge story of this shortened 2020 season. Okay, Joe, as I say, there's absolutely no segue to this, but because of your experience with the Olympics, I also wanted to ask, you know, what type of a, you know, magnitude is this when you move an Olympic Games cancel? And now we're hearing that potentially Japan doesn't want the Olympics there next year. But just in the context that we have right now, what's it mean to move these games a full year for the athletes that train so hard?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be really difficult because they worked so hard for the 4 years in between. They look so much forward to it. I mean, this is their time to shine. And to shut it down, basically, I mean, maybe not shutting it down all the way, but to not have the same intensity in training now, and then you got to pick it back up again, I think that's going to be difficult for a lot of the athletes. I definitely think everybody missed having the Olympics.
Right.
It's really too bad, but there's no way you could do it, Amy, not with the way things are right now. And I'm going to be interested to see, you know, how that would work next year, and even with the broadcast, because as we already talked about, there already were broadcasts that were being done in the studio. You wonder how many more of those will be done when you get to next year, and how will all the broadcasters react to it as well?
Yeah, it's just one of those questions that we don't have answers for, which seems to be par for the course in 2020. You can find Joe on Twitter at The Sports Virus. It's so legit. You have to go check it out. From the Bay Area, longtime friend of mine. Joe, it's great to have you on the show again. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure, and it's always great hearing your voice because it brings me back to those days that we talked about, and I appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.